Open our Bibles this morning. I don't know why I'm croaking all of a sudden. No, don't worry, I'm not dying yet. Let's open up to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 this morning. I'm going to turn a little bit back and forth, but you're going to be in Luke 22 most of the morning. Luke 22. All right, let's go down to verse 31. Now, this is a familiar passage to many, and I was looking at something else this week and saw something here that I wanted to make sure and preach about this morning. So it says in verse 31, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, and behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day till that thou shalt deny, thrice deny rather, that thou knowest me. And he said unto him, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing." But my concentration this morning is from verse 31 through 34. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, we come to you here and ask for your attendance to what we're trying to do, Father, Lord, for you. We're here, Lord, not because we're smart or able or have the answers ourselves, but because you have the answers and the conduit. Lord, we desire to be open for you to speak to thy people through the preaching of the Word of God. We know the Holy Spirit is involved, Jesus Christ himself being the captain of our salvation, but also the Word of God. And so I'm the one here that gets in the way. I pray that you'll help me to be out of the way. And the folks sitting here before me, it's their flesh that gets in the way, other distractions. And I pray that you might help us to be able to put those things aside to get from you today something that you would have us know. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a lot packed into those two verses, verse 31 and 32. Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, just going to have to cover a couple things here, because there's some things for you to digest if you haven't already. At this point, Simon Peter is not yet converted, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now the reason for that, Peter was as converted as a man could be in that day. You have to remember, Christ hasn't died for our sins yet, or risen from the dead, or ascended up to heaven. And so the Bible says that the Holy Spirit could not come until Christ was risen and ascended back to his glory. And so, because Christ hadn't died yet, Simon Peter couldn't have been converted quite like we're converted. I want you to understand that when you are converted, your faith and trust in Jesus Christ saves you. He saves you. And there are, depending on how you count, 30-something things that God does for you so you cannot lose your salvation again. And so that is truly being converted. That is the full conversion that is intended for this day and age. And I just want to say that that is not something that Simon Peter could yet partake of for the simple fact that Christ hadn't died yet, right? So that should be okay. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, let me recover something from verse 1. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. All right, Satan wants his piece of you. Satan wants his shot. And Satan got his shot for Simon Peter. Now, if Satan's going to take his shots at me like he took shots at Job and shots at just about every other saint, and he'll do the same for you, then it sure is good to have an advocate with a father. Verse 32. But I have prayed for you, he says in verse 32, that thy faith fail not. It's good to have an advocate. Jesus Christ prayed for Peter, and he is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so it sure is good to have a mediator. Now, I want to say this. When Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, that didn't mean that Jesus ran the devil off. It doesn't mean that he forbade Satan to ever touch Peter or try Peter. That's not what was accomplished there. Simon Peter's faith was indeed sorely tried, and you're going to see that coming up. And by the way, so will your faith be sorely tried. Okay? Now, Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's our mediator, and he's praying for you. And he won the battle for you. But I tell you what, there's a part of you that has to still fight this fight. And I want you to just know that the devil isn't running from you right now unless you're resisting him. Okay? Now, with that said, I need to call on you early to make a decision here. And when I'm going to ask you a question in a second, and it's a rhetorical question in that I don't need people jumping aboard and getting ahead of things and shaking their head no or nodding their head yes real big so everybody knows how spiritual you are. I'm going to call upon you to make a decision, and it says in verse 31, Satan hath desired to have you, Pete, that he may sift you as wheat. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. That's Jesus Christ's specific prayer. And I'll ask you the question. Don't nod big or shake your head big yet. I need to ask you to make a decision about whether Pete's faith failed following this. You say, well, preacher, you know, three times at that fire, Simon Peter denied Jesus Christ, and the last time he cussed like a sailor. So, yeah, his faith failed. Well, okay, if that's what failing faith looks like. But I would take you down and ask you to consider this. He said in verse 32, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And then he said to him, Peter said to Christ, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both unto prison and to death. And he, the Lord, said back to Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, I know Simon Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ at the fire, and I know that the last time he swore, I get all that. I know that some folks think that a Christian could never, ever get there, that would represent a failed faith. But explain this to me. If Jesus had just said, I prayed thy faith fail not, but you are going to deny me three times. I ask you this. When Peter did fulfill that prophecy, it was a prophecy, does that mean Peter's faith failed at that juncture? And I would set forth to you that whatever else it is, no, it's not failure. Christ said, I'm praying that thy faith fail not. I know it's not good. I'm not promoting it. I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying he should have. I'm simply saying that does not represent failed faith. Christ said, I'm praying for you. And by the way, this is going to happen. So when that happened, like Christ prophesied, you can't say that equals failed faith. Right? And so I need to take you through that. And by the way, that would just mean that it wasn't game over at the fire. I mean, it wasn't like that was the end of Peter's spiritual life. And, you know, Peter from then on was just somebody God could never use because his faith failed. Because in the fact, it's not good, it's not advisable, it's not wise, the devil got in it, and you shouldn't do that. But it wasn't failed faith. I would present you this. If it was failed faith, then tell me why in John 21, after Peter swam to the shore, the Lord said, Peter denies the Lord three times at the fire. At another fire, just a few days later, the Lord Jesus Christ says, hey, Pete, lovest thou me more than these? Oh, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. And three times he repeated that. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Three times. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And so finally the Lord said, okay, follow thou me. Is that fail faith? I mean, if I know Christ, I mean, I know that Paul, that whoever this guy is, the dog, whatever, Simon Peter messed up at the fire, I get that. But Jesus said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. It wasn't a failure of faith. It was a failing. It was wrong. I'm not going to justify sin for him or you or me, but I'm just saying that's not failed faith. Let me ask you this. When Peter presided over the election, for lack of a better word, of the 12th apostle after Christ rose from the dead and went back to heaven to replace Judas Iscariot, what did that mean that he presided over the apostles? What does it mean? Does it represent failed faith that God can't use anymore when Simon Peter is the Pentecostal preacher in Acts 2? I'm presenting you the idea that Peter's faith, I grant you at the fire, it's not good, it's not wise. He messed up like you've messed up, like I've messed up. It doesn't represent the end of the line. The game's not over. It wasn't failed faith in that way. By the way, Simon Peter held the line and carried the ball of the gospel before Paul came along. I mean, Simon Peter's responsible for opening the door to the Gentiles in Acts 10, and Paul's just gotten saved. And so Peter carries the ball of the gospel until Paul gets online, for lack of a better word, I guess. I should also mention that Simon Peter wrote 2 books of the New Testament. Does that represent failed faith? Does that represent some end of the line somewhere where God can't use somebody anymore? So what are you saying, Brother Stevens? Well, I'm preaching this morning on that thy faith fail not. And I would have you understand a couple things, first of all. First of all, there's the faith that saves you. Now, when you get saved, the faith by which you believe on Jesus Christ happens one time. The faith that saves you forever. As I said, I can go through and list them. I've listed them in Bible study for these folks. If you're a visitor, there are 30 plus things that when you trust Christ as your Savior, God does for you. It's the work of God in your life. And from that point on, you cannot be lost. So the faith that saves is the faith that saves. That's a one-time deal. It's like pulling the trigger on a rifle, that bullet will never be fired again. And you either missed the deer or you didn't miss the deer. And, you know, you're not going to be able to get that bullet back. And so the faith that saves is the faith that saves. Now, after you get saved, there is another faith. I don't mean it's a secondary faith or anything like that. I mean it's the faith that carries you then through the rest of life as a Christian all the way to the judgment seat of Christ. And that is a very high maintenance faith. I'll be honest with you. You're always learning new stuff. It's always getting racked around and beat up by the devil, by the world, and by the flesh. And I'm just saying, saving faith is something that's exercised one time, whereas the faith that's going to carry you through the rest of your Christian life, and you will be a Christian for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not, if you're saved. It is eternal security, and you just can't get around it. I can show you verse after verse after verse. You cannot lose it after God saves you. When you exercise that faith, then from that point on, you have a very high maintenance faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You got to feed that faith the Word of God. It needs preaching. It needs teaching. It needs reading. It needs all kinds of stuff. It needs rebuking. It needs repentance over and over again. You have to just keep up with it every day. But that faith is the faith that should not fail. Your faith will be tried. That faith that carries you through this life can fail. And it's going to be sorely tried. The Bible says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. It says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. The Lord is not hesitant to test the faith of His people. He does not treat it as a fragile thing like we tend to treat it. It's not fragile that way. He will try it. He'll try it early. Sometimes in a very young Christian's life, the Lord jumps right in, allows the devil to work him over and try it. I'm telling you that with regard to this stuff, that you're going to be put in this life after you're a Christian, your faith is going to be put in a concrete mixer, and you're going to get bruised up and broken pretty good at times. And so with regard to that, I just want to say that nothing that I'm going to say is should be taken as an excuse to fail. But I am saying this. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saved. You still have a faith to maintain through the rest of your Christian life. And that's what God is busy working on most of us with. All right? And that faith should not fail. And so I'm preaching this morning on that, thy faith fail not. I'm taking what Christ said there. He said, I have prayed for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not. Can anybody here doubt that that's what Jesus Christ is praying for you? Okay? And then he goes right on to verse 34 and says, now, Pete, I'm telling you right now, I know you have confidence right now, but I'm telling you that before this night is over, you're going to deny me three times. He said, oh, no, I will never do that. He said, I'm telling you tonight, that faith that you're, you know, that you think you've got, you're going to deny me three times. And I'm just pointing out to you that that to Christ does not, it's not good. I'm not advising it. But that's not what Christ was saying about failed faith. So I'm talking to you this morning about that thy faith fail not. I want to show you where Simon Peter's faith, I guess the process, the concrete mixer that Peter's faith was taken through, and I will, till the very end here, hold the fact that his faith did not fail. Notice, if you will, down in chapter 22, and notice verse 35, he's just pronounced to Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt three times deny me. Okay, verse 35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and script and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now, we like that one. I mean, if you have a 45, you probably need a 9mm. You know. You got to make sure you got that sword, right? And so it goes on, for I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. Christ is saying, going from talking about the sword to talking about the fact that he has to die and suffer for our sins. It says in verse 37, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it's enough. Now, what just happened there? He's gone from talking to Pete, saying, okay, Peter, I'm going to pray that your faith fail not, but I'm telling you right now, you're going to deny me three times before this night's over. Okay, then he goes on and talks to those folks, and he says, now, if you if you don't have a sword, go ahead and buy one, because I'm telling you, and here's the important part, I'm telling you that I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to suffer death, I'm going to die for sinners, I'm going to descend to the lower parts of the earth, I'm going to be resurrected from the dead, and then we get to really do something special. And they just don't get it. And Peter's among them. I mean, notice what they say after he gets done talking about dying for our sins and suffering on Calvary. It says down in verse 38, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it's enough. What's that exchange? He's just expressed to them that he's going to die. And like so many times before this, when he would talk about that, it went ricocheted right off their heads. They didn't get it because they didn't understand it. And so they go right back to what he was talking about before. Hey, we don't just have one sword, we have two swords. And he's like, okay, guys, you just missed it, but fine. Now, what is that? That's faith uncomprehending. Now, I'm preaching about Peter's faith not failing. But I can tell you this, he was with the rest of the apostles there, and their faith was uncomprehending of what was going on. I mean, they just didn't quite get it. They haven't digested yet that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to die on Calvary, be buried, resurrected from the dead, 3 days later, ascend back to heaven and lead captivity captive, give gifts to men, sit down on the right hand of God. They haven't gotten that yet, and so they're still stuck with swords. They hear something, they just can't fully grasp, and so they kind of blunder on and go back to the swords thing. Everybody has got to make sure they have the right sword. I mean, if you have 145, you may need another one, need a hideaway, that kind of deal, right? So, hey, we have two swords, right? That's faith uncomprehending. That isn't a failure of faith. That is, Simon Peter hasn't even got to denying Christ three times, and this is not failing faith. Most of us, when we got saved, were uncomprehending about some things. I bet you were, as like me, dumb as a stump regarding some stuff, and took some time to catch up. A new Christian doesn't understand a lot at first. There's a lot to absorb. He may get one or two things, but there's a lot to absorb. There's lots of places to go wrong. I mean, you need time and grounding to grow. And it's a very vulnerable time. And yes, there will be grievous wolves that come around. Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking him who may devour. And yes, lots of people, because of their naivete, their innocence, and their lack of growth, their immaturity. I mean, you leave a little baby, brand newborn baby, out in the woods with the wildlife, something may very well happen. And so it is that sometimes somebody gets born again and they don't get snatched up, they're not discipled, they don't grow, and life sweeps them away, okay? So here's Simon Peter, and even right after Christ says this, he still doesn't even get that Christ is going to die. Okay, I want to say that faith uncomprehending, especially in the young, is not failed faith. Just because you didn't understand eternal security, just because you didn't understand prophetic things, just because there are things that you didn't understand when you got saved, it does not mean that your faith failed. Here is, again, Simon Peter, and his faith has not failed. You can yet recover. I got saved when I was 10 years old, many of you know. And I did absolutely nothing for 10 years. It wasn't until I had grown up and sinned a great deal more and was fully 3 years into college before I got my walk right with the Lord. Okay? Now that's, so for that first 10 years, I kind of had a faith that was uncomprehending. There was just a lot I ignored, a lot I didn't know, and I just want to say, that doesn't mean my faith failed. I mean, that wasn't game over for me. Here I stand, right? Been here for 30-something years. So, folks, just because you fail at first as a young Christian does not mean it's game over. That does not equal faith failing. So faith uncomprehending is not faith failing. Look in chapter 22, verse 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. You're talking about somebody praying so hard that it may very well be that the blood vessels beneath his skin broke, and he literally sweated pinkish fluid. There is actually a condition where that's possible. It goes on down and says in verse 44, falling down to the ground, and when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, this includes Peter, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Now, if you wanted a fuller explanation, it's in Matthew 26. You don't have to go there. But Jesus Christ tells Simon Peter to pray and to watch and pray. And the Lord goes and prays for a little while, comes back, finds Peter sleeping and says, Pete, can't you watch and pray with me for an hour? Watch and pray. Wake up. And Jesus goes back and prays some more, comes back, finds him still sleeping. Goes back and prays some more, comes back again, finds them still sleeping. I mean, Jesus Christ returned. This is a day for threes. Came back and returned to Simon Peter, found Simon Peter sleeping three different times. And in the midst of saying that in Matthew, he says, you need to watch and pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I just want to say that Simon Peter is there, and I mean, his faith is weary. He has been walking and camping with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. They've been through this Last Supper scenario and all the things that happened there. I mean, Judas Iscariot was revealed and for what he is, and a lot of things happened. I mean, all this thing is all coming down all at once. And I just want you to know that his faith was weary. His faith was weary because of his flesh. You know, your spirit and soul does still live in this flesh. I'm sorry, but you are still housed in this flesh, and that's what's going to keep you back a lot of times. I mean, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so here you are, once in a while you're just reminded, being housed in this flesh, that, you know, you're still in the flesh. It's not an excuse for adultery, okay? It's not an excuse for smoking dope or getting drunk or any of the things that, you know, you can think of. It's not an excuse for that. But I tell you what, you do get sick. No matter how fervent your spirit, you're going to get sick somewhere. You're going to get weary. You're going to get tired. The flesh takes its toll on a willing spirit. And what I'm saying here is that it catches up with you. It reminds you that you still live in mortal flesh. I don't know how you are. I mean, even as a young man, I know I'm old and decrepit now. But, you know, I'd go out on visitation or street preaching. Folks, when I get home from street preaching, I have to take a nap. When I'm done with preaching on Sunday morning before I get ready for Sunday night, I got to take a nap. You know why? Because spiritually, it takes a toll on the flesh. The flesh doesn't like this particularly. And I mean, if you don't feel it when you're 25, you'll feel it when you're 35 and 45. If you're still doing something for God, you're going to be wore flat out when you do something spiritual. It's because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Simon Peter was suffering from weary faith. The Lord is going to show you that living in this flesh, the old dog still has some fleas and lice. All right? That being the case, is that failed faith? No, it's not. I mean, he said, look, Pete, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, so your faith's not going to fail. You know, I'm praying it doesn't fail. I'm telling you right now that you're going to deny me 3 times. Well, he hasn't even gotten to the denial yet. A faith that's weary does not represent failed faith. You're going to get tired sometimes. You're going to get tired of the brethren. You're going to get tired of church. You're going to get tired of the mundane stuff in life. You're going to get tired of it. And no, that doesn't mean your faith failed. Now, you're beginning to ease over to dangerous ground, because obviously faith can fail. But I just want you to know that if you're tired, I get it. The flesh is weak. Now, let me show you something else. Look down in verse 47. So we've seen so far faith uncomprehending. Just didn't get some things. That is not failed faith. We've seen faith weary. That's not failed faith. In chapter 22, verse 47, it says, "While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called a Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to a kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw that what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." Okay, now, you don't have to go there, but in John 18:10, the guy that did the smiting of the guy's ear was Simon Peter. Simon Peter cut off a guy named Malchus' ear. So here's Jesus Christ facing the crowd, right? And Simon Peter, now, Simon Peter at this point has had a nap. Because he's been sleeping 3 times when Jesus Christ shows back up. So he's got a nap. Now his flesh is refreshed. And there's nothing wrong with his love. There's nothing wrong with his zeal for Christ. In fact, he's set on proving that he will never deny Christ. So, I mean, he whips out that sword and goes off the rails. He whips out that sword and went way too far. I mean, his faith is white hot. I mean, he's as zealous as a man can be. I mean, he's ready to back up with his back against all the rest of those apostles and fight it out to the very end. And he almost messed things up, because you know what that is? That's faith errant. That's faith in error. He's gone too far. You need to know when you've gone too far. You need to know when you've not gone far enough. But to err in faith, I mean, he went off the rails. He went too far. He's almost, you know, Jesus Christ shut him down hard. He said, put that sword up. Suffer ye thus far. Don't you know that I have to go through this? Put that sword up. I mean, shut him down hard, because Simon Peter was about to ruin everything. He's about to ruin the plan if it goes on forward, because they're going to wind up fighting the entire Roman army by the time this is over. If this thing gets out of hand, they're going to kill a bunch of priests. And here comes the Roman army. They're going to have to shed blood all over the fields. And Simon Peter almost messes this thing up. He's got errant faith. So you get saved, and you probably spent some time in error, most likely. I've made some mistakes. I believed some things wrong before I got some things straightened out. Didn't you? Some of y'all may have decided you could stay in the Catholic Church and be right with God. You probably, some of you thought that you could compromise with the charismatics and stay on track. And you were wrong about that. That's errant faith. And so with that, you may, I hope in the end you're corrected. And Simon Peter, there's no doubt that when this thing is over, he feels bad about this. I mean, he must feel terrible, and you should feel terrible. But I just want to say that errant faith is not failed faith. Simon Peter hasn't even gotten to the denying Christ phase yet. And his faith hasn't failed, even though it was errant. See, it's not too late. Now, it's not good to practice that. You're getting over on the devil's territory, and the devil's territory where the devil can do something with you if he gets a hold of you, right? But your faith is not errant. Faith is not failed because you've made a mistake, because you've been too zealous, or because you've not been zealous enough. I want to say this in verse 52. Let's start reading in verse 51. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far? Touched his ear and healed him. So he heals Malchus after Peter cuts his ear off. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And they took him and led him and brought him to the high priest's house. And Peter followed, it says, afar off. We're talking about Peter's faith. Peter followed afar off. Well, again, if you went back to Matthew, you don't have to do it this morning. Matthew 26:56, all the disciples forsook him, just like he predicted. And Simon Peter ran like the rest of them, just like Christ predicted. And the Bible says that he followed afar off. Now, what's going on here? Well, this kind of flows back to last Sunday night's message, if you were here. This is not how Peter envisioned it. He thought that he was going to stand for Jesus Christ, and that here this Messiah, when it came, push came to shove, he was going to fight it out, defeat the Roman armies, and establish himself King of Israel in Jerusalem, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Simon Peter is the first. He's more than happy to shed blood. But it didn't work out that way. And Jesus Christ said, put that sword up. And so he sheathes it and is really shaken then. And when the rest start peeling off, he peeled off too, following afar off. So this is faith afar. If you're not careful, you will preconceive that things will go differently than they do. Usually they don't go how you preconceive them. It's that way with blessings. It's that way with trials. It's that way with promises. It's that way with prophecies. The Lord's timing and methods are not the way you would do it. I promise you, That's what's going to happen in your Christian life when your faith is tried. You're going to think it's going to be one way, and you're looking for this to happen, and it's not happening that way. The Lord does that to humble you. He does that because you're stupid and because you don't know yet that He doesn't do things the way you do things. It's that way with the ministry. It's that way dealing with people. It's that way with marriage and kids. It's largely that way with life. It's just not as you had imagined it. And so when somebody comes in young, gets saved, he has expectations about how the Lord will fulfill some promises and how things will work. And he doesn't see those things working the way that he thought they would. And so his tendency is to try to open up a little distance, because all of a sudden he's a little disillusioned with this Jesus Christ character. And it's not like he doesn't appreciate salvation. Peter still loved Jesus Christ, but I think that Peter's mad. I mean, he pulls a sword, he's ready to die, and the Lord says, "Put that sword up, Pete." And he won't let him fight. So I think that Peter, as much as anything, I don't think he's ashamed. I think he's mad. And I think he's frustrated, doesn't understand why this thing is going on like this. So he's standing there uncertain, you know, off balance. He's out of step, and he doesn't get why it's this way. Now, when you get that way and you resent the way the Lord's doing stuff, there's something that, you know, lingers on the horizon, and that's called bitterness or resentment. And you can learn pretty fast that you're just not, you know, to spare self, you're going to just not trust God anymore. And I just want to say, that's what I mean. This is dangerous ground. Now, this is faith afar. He's now following verse 54, afar off. And so he's not walking with Christ anymore. He's following afar off. He's let distance open up. It's not good. The devil can exploit that distance. Okay, but so far, has Simon Peter's faith failed? He hasn't even denied Christ 3 times. And the Lord said, I'm going to pray your faith fail not, but I'll tell you this right now, you're going to deny me 3 times. So this can't represent failed faith. Come on, don't tell me that you haven't walked afar. There are some of you sitting right here this morning that are following as far off as you can. It's, you know, just as long as he's a dot on the horizon, that's close enough. Because Jesus Christ is pretty intrusive. And when you start really wanting to follow Jesus Christ, he's going to get right in your face and try to get you right on his tail. You're expected to be right there. He's going to be on you because you kind of want to keep opening up that distance, because you just don't understand why this is working the way it's working. And so here is faith afar. Now, I just want to say, in closing this point, that Satan can get a toehold here. He has now managed for the first time in 3.5 years to get some distance between Jesus Christ and Simon Peter. And so 100 yards, 50 yards, 200 yards, I don't know. But the devil at this point is going, okay, I can use this. And so I'm saying, this is dangerous ground, but I'm also saying Peter's faith has not failed. Not yet. Notice chapter 22, verse 55. He's following afar off in verse 54. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with them." Now, this is not just faith afar. This is faith out of fellowship. Simon Peter is sitting at the world's fire with the world. And Jesus Christ is way over there. He's still within sight because he looks later. He's still within sight, but he's over there, and I'm over here. And I'm with the world at the world's fire. That's faith out of fellowship, okay? He has been thrown for a loop. Like I said, he is mad. I imagine he's rattled, confused. He's frustrated out of his mind. He's off balance. This is not happening the way he thought it was going to happen. I mean, he was ready to die on the spot, and the Lord said, put it up, put it down. Don't do that. Don't mess everything up, Pete. And so Peter is, you know, fit to be tied because he doesn't understand what's going on. He's out of step. He's out of fellowship. He's with the wrong people. And I just want to say that that's what goes wrong lots of times, is you start hanging out with the wrong crowd, sitting by the devil's fire. And boy, the devil can slip in and use that. You agree? All right. Well, Satan's on him now. He still hasn't failed, but it's dangerous. He is now exposed, because now he's not just separated from Christ, but he's sitting with the world. And this is not a good development. But his faith has not yet failed. Because Christ said, "Pete, I prayed for you that your faith fail not, but you are going to deny me 3 times. He hasn't done that yet, but he does. He will. Chapter 22, verse 57. And this girl walks up and he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know I'm not." There's number one. After a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." About the space of an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. His speech betrayeth him." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And you know that in another account, on that third occasion, Simon Peter even swore. He even said, "Blankety blank, I do not know the blankety blank." Okay? That's pretty bad. Denies him 3 times. So this is now, here he is. This is faith denied. The worst day in Peter's life. The worst tragedy that ever happened to Peter in his spiritual life. Ever had a day like that? I don't know, you know, I'll just tell you how far somebody can go. I've lived it. I got saved at 10. By the time I was 2 years deep into college, not Bible school, college, I believed evolution. I was saved at 10 years old, and I'd been brainwashed then by late high school and early college into believing evolution. Say, "Well, I just don't believe somebody can be saved and believe evolution." Well, shut up, because I was saved. It was just errant. It was stupidity. It was naivete. It was the devil getting in on me, okay? You say, "Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that Simon Peter's faith failed?" Well, Christ said, "Pete, I'm going to pray that your faith fail not, but I'll tell you right now, you're going to deny Christ 3 times. And Pete goes, "Nuh-uh." In his mind, he goes, "Nuh-uh. Get that jaw out." But he did. So here it is. And he's denied Jesus Christ 3 times. I want to say it's really dangerous ground now, right? I mean, Satan not only has he's gotten a claw in now. He's not only on Satan's territory with Satan stalking, but Satan's got a claw in him now, and if he can just wrench him away and drag him a little further, he's going to devour him, 1 Peter 5:8. And, I think that Satan by this point is chuckling a little bit, going, "Yeah, got him." Right? The thing is, this happened just like Jesus said. Wait a minute. Jesus predicted this would happen. Having this just said, "I pray that thy faith fail not." How can you put together, "I'm praying that thy faith fail not," and then go right on into saying, "But you are going to deny me 3 times. Well, 3 times denying him cannot mean the same as his faith failing then. Okay? You say, "Well, what do you carry away from it?" I carry away that he's in a very dangerous place. He's very exposed. He's very vulnerable. It's not wise to ever go there. Do not use this as an excuse for license. But his faith hasn't failed yet. I want you to notice verse 61. "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." And I think that sealed the deal. I mean, they're within eyeshot of each other. And as soon as Peter did that, in spite of Christ's tremendous trials he's going through, the preoccupation, the focus, there around the fire with his accusers, the Pharisees, the scribes, he still has the wherewithal, the foreknowledge, the knowledge of things, the omniscience, to recognize that Peter has just fulfilled what he said he would, and he just makes a point to turn and look. And I just can't imagine what that baleful look must have looked like. Like, you know, I told you. Told you. And the Bible says down in verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. So there is faith bereaved. I mean, at this point, he's, you know, you've heard the phrase, maybe you haven't, feeling lower than whale poop on the bottom of the ocean. Ever been there? I mean, ever mess up bad enough that, you know, it doesn't get any lower? I don't feel any lower than this. Okay, that's where he is. It's faith bereaved. And you know, some folks deny Christ, and bereavement doesn't accompany their failure. That's bad ground. But Simon Peter, the bereavement still accompanied his failure. He realized immediately what he did and realized immediately what it meant. And again, I emphasize to you that Jesus Christ had prophesied. Did you know he never had a prophecy fail? Jesus Christ prophesied this would happen. So this does not equal failed faith, a failure of faith. You could say he failed, but it wasn't what Jesus Christ was talking about as a failed faith. If you think that this meant to Christ, and Christ goes, well, never mind then. And from there on, Simon Peter is put on a shelf. If that's so, go with me to a place or two here real quick. Look at Mark chapter 16 real fast. If this meant at the fire after his denial, if this meant that Simon Peter had failed in faith and that now a new reality comes into being. Look in Mark chapter 16 and notice verse 7. Now this is after Christ rises from the dead. So Peter has now lived with his denial, not only through the time that it took for Christ to die on Calvary, those hours, but he has now lived for 3 days or more with his quote-unquote failure. In verse 7, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "And go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he, Christ rather, goes before you into Galilee. But make sure you tell his brethren." But let me specify, make sure you tell Peter. Now, what's that mean? Doesn't that mean that Christ hasn't given up on him? I mean, Christ predicted and said, "You're going to deny me 3 times. Uh-uh. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. All right. He said, but after he rises from the dead, he says, make sure that angel, make sure, tell the angel to make sure and tell them, make sure and let Peter know. I'm going before him to meet him in Galilee. Look in 1 John chapter 1 real quick, if you would. You ever messed up since you've been a Christian? Tell me what this means. John 1:9. In the context of fellowship, we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about fellowship. Verse 3, twice it says fellowship. Verse 6, it says fellowship. Verse 7, it says fellowship. Verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you can get back to that ground, your faith hasn't failed. He'll take you back. You say, let me show you back one more time, and we're back to Luke chapter 24 now. I know I'm turning you back and forth a little bit here, but it won't last long. Luke 24. What have we seen so far? Pete, your faith, I pray your faith fail not. Now, you are going to deny me 3 times, and Peter goes forward immediately, and he has an uncomprehending faith. I mean, it's a little simplistic and doesn't understand, and so he messes up. And then his faith is weary. He sleeps through some things he shouldn't have slept through. His faith is errant. He almost messed up the plan. His faith is afar off. He starts distancing himself. His faith is out of fellowship. He's sitting with the world at the world's fire in fellowship with the world. Meanwhile, Christ is way over there. His faith has been denied. He did deny Jesus Christ three times. His faith is bereaved. But his faith has not yet failed. In fact, in 24:12, when the disciples hear of how Christ had risen, it says, notice in verse 12, Luke 24 and verse 12, then rose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld and then the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, the Bible says Peter outruns the younger John. You think about a 35 or 40 year old man outrunning a 17 year old boy. he is cued in. I mean, see, he heard that the grave was empty. He's gone. And he's the first one there. What does that mean? He says, what does this mean? I saw him dead. I saw him dead after I denied him. I saw him dead, and now he's not there. What does that mean? I mean, they're still, it's beyond them still that Christ was really going to rise from the dead. Everybody's surprised to see him because they couldn't grasp those things. So here in verse 12 is faith confused. What in the world is going on, says Peter. Say, well, what does that mean for whether Pete's faith failed or not? Well, look in 24:34, since you're in this chapter. You'll read in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Apparently, the Lord appeared to Simon Peter somewhere, it's not recorded, alone, specifically just for Peter. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. This is known as the resurrection chapter, but in verse 5, then he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. It says that he appeared to Simon Peter first. Well, if Peter's faith failed, what's Jesus Christ showing back up to him first for? Right? Look, if you will, in John, just a second, John 21. And then you're done turning, okay? John 21. Don't get restless on me yet. The roast ain't burning yet. John 21. If Peter's faith failed and Jesus Christ is now going to say, well, you know, I prayed for you, but my prayers failed, and the Lord didn't answer my prayers. And you denied me and went through all this, so I'm done with you. If that's the case, then what's this about? John 21, go down to verse 15. You know the passage. Well, I should read this first. Look at John 21:7. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. He's on the shore, and they're out fishing. And they caught nothing all night, and you know they had a tough time, and you know Peter's kind of distracted and all that kind of stuff. And somebody says, "Hey, who's that on the shore?" And John has sharper eyes because he's younger than everybody. He doesn't have glasses or anything. He says, "Man, it's the Lord." And I mean Simon Peter's reaction in verse 7. Then when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself in the sea. And he starts swimming to shore, looking. 21:11, and Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Now tell me this, is that the response of a man whose faith has failed? And he's done with Jesus Christ. He doesn't know what happened, but he's done with it. I mean, he followed him for 3.5 years and he's frustrated and fed up, and Christ failed him somehow, and he failed Christ. So jump in the river and swim the other way. But is this the response of a guy, I mean, somebody swimming to land to try to be first at Jesus Christ's feet? Is that somebody that's given up? Is that somebody whose faith has failed? Look in verse 15. And when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, broken voice, you know I love you. And man, the Lord Jesus Christ drug him through three different sequences of that. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I mean, the third time, Peter is grieved that he's asking him for the third time. Well, after all, Pete, you denied him three times, right? He said, so, oh Lord, for the third time, I hope the last, Lord, I love you. And, I mean, is that the response of somebody that's, you know, failed in faith? Look in verse 18, 21:18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself and walked whither thou wouldst not, wouldest, you know, where you wanted to. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. And he's talking about how he's going to die. He's going to die a brutal death. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, is that the response of a Savior who is acknowledging that Peter's faith failed? And so, at the fire where you denied me, game over. I can't use you anymore. We're done. I mean, you not only denied me, but you cussed. And that, you know, that, draw the line there. Is that the response? No. Follow me. By the way, you're going to glorify God with your death. And you've been accustomed your whole life to going where you wanted to go. But one day, somebody's going to have to gird you yourself because you're going to be in manacles, and they're going to lead you out, and they're going to kill you in a death that you're going to glorify God with. That is not the testimony of somebody whose faith failed. So here's what I want to say. Here you live on the brink of the rapture. The perilous times are deeply upon us. The judgment seat of Christ could be this afternoon. You're going to get out of here to trumpet. You're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Right? It's a fact. It's not too late. I don't know how you failed. I don't know at what level you feel that you've failed the Lord or that the Lord has done with you. I'll tell you this right now. The fact that you're still here, that you're alive, says that there's still something he has for you to do. And you will either do it for him or you won't. But I tell you this, it's not too late. It's still not too late to work. Now the night's coming when no man can work, but it's not too late for you. And you have the truth. And you should not talk yourself into being a failure because you presume Christ couldn't use somebody like you who did what you did. Get on your knees and repent and get right and serve God. I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And I hold with all my heart that Peter's faith did not fail. It was tried. It was put through a concrete mixer. He suffered some wounds. He got beaten up real good. And he messed up in some things. But as far as the time being a thing where I'm sorry, I'm drawing the line on you at the fire after you cussed. You denied me three times and you cussed. It's over from there. I'm sorry, it was not game over at the fire. Simon Peter's life from that point on was filled with usefulness for God. I'm praying for thee that thy faith fail not. And I'm praying for me the same thing. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father,